We are continuing our study in the 5th chapter of Genesis and ready to begin at the 25th verse. In this portion of Genesis, we have the teaching given about the patriarchs who lived from the time of Adam to Noah. I'd like to read verses 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We studied more about Enoch in our last lesson. And the unique thing about Enoch is that he was one who did not die. He was taken. He walked with God. All the patriarchs were said to have died except Enoch. However, it is never said of Enoch that he died. Twice we are told that he walked with God. This explains that God had a unique way of dealing with Enoch, for God took him, not in death, but in life, showing clearly to those before the flood that there is life beyond this present existence here on earth. Just exactly where God took Enoch is not answered in this place, but as we stated before, we believe Enoch was taken to a place God prepared for him, as was Elijah. Whether into heaven itself, or to the habitation of the righteous dead, which is paradise, we do not know for sure, but the actual place is not necessary for us to know at this time. The Lord Jesus is now preparing a place for us. In John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And someday, the new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven, for read in Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." It is even an intriguing possibility that Enoch and Elijah have yet a future work to continue their unfinished ministries of prophesying for God. They may even be the two witnesses mentioned in Zechariah 4:14 and Revelation 11:3-12, fulfilling the prophecies mentioned in those passages. There may be a possibility that the same two witnesses were the two men who were standing by in Luke 24:4 and Acts 1:10 at both the resurrection and ascension of Christ. This would correlate with the ministry of the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord in Zechariah 4:14. We do not say dogmatically that that is the interpretation here, but it's a possibility. The fact that John calls them angels in John 20:12 can be explained by the fact that the word angel simply means messenger, and it is occasionally used with reference to men, according to Revelation 2:1. So let us read from Genesis 5, verses 25-27. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Methuselah was born when Enoch was 65 years old. This shows that the long ages of the patriarchs were measured in years and not in months, as some have suggested. Otherwise, Enoch would have only been 5 years old when his son was born. It's very interesting to note the possible meaning of the name Methuselah. We cannot be sure of the meaning of this name, though many scholars have said it means man of a dart. But this name would have been out of character for a man like Enoch to select for his son. But many ancient and modern commentators have interpreted the name of Methuselah as meaning "when he dies, judgment," or "when he dies, it shall be sent." If this interpretation is correct, then it would appear that Enoch, a prophet of coming judgment, had received at the birth of his son a special revelation concerning the judgment of the great flood. Methuselah died in the year the flood came. God may have promised Enoch that the great flood would not come as long as Methuselah lived. And Enoch, in turn, gave his son a name to honor that prophetic warning and promise. This may be the reason Methuselah lived longer than any other man whose age was recorded in history, 969 years. Methuselah did die in the year of the flood, the year 1656 after creation. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As God is long-suffering toward godless men today, so he was long ago. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, 1 Peter 3:20. Now let us move into the next few verses in Genesis 5, verses 28 through 32. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Methuselah's son, Lamech, like his grandfather Enoch, was a prophet of God. At least he did prophesy about his own son Noah. Enoch and Lamech are the only two patriarchs who lived before the flood who have actual parts of their prophecies recorded in Scripture. These were also the only two patriarchs who lived before the flood who were outlived by their fathers. Enoch was translated 435 years before Jared's death, and Methuselah outlived Lamech by 5 years. It is also interesting to note that for some reason, Enoch and Lamech are the only two whose names had already been given to certain of their relatives in the ungodly line of Cain. It is probable that the Canaanite Enoch and the Cainite Lamech were both living when the Sethite Enoch and the Sethite Lamech were born. We do not know whether there was a purpose in naming one after the other, or whether they may have been common names in the population of the day. The pre-flood line of patriarchs ends with Noah, whose name means rest, and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. When Noah was born, his father Lamech prophesied of a coming time when Noah would be a source of relief from the hardship of the curse. He says, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Here we see Lamech's view of the results of the curse brought on by Adam's sin. Our condition has become very miserable. Our whole life is spent in labor, and our time is filled with continuous sorrow. Since God cursed the ground, it is as much as some can do, with the greatest care and pains, to make a hard living out of it. Lamech speaks as one who is fatigued with the business of this life, and begrudging the fact that so much effort must be spent for the simple support of the body. Lamech says, This same shall comfort us. He, no doubt, sees his son as being the line of the promised seed, with a very important mission to carry out in his lifetime, and certainly Noah was a fulfillment of this prophecy. The fact that Noah's father, Lamech, prophesied at Noah's birth that there was a time coming when the curse would be removed indicates that the memory of the creation and the fall was still fresh in the minds of at least those who had received and believed the records transmitted to them from Adam. This is good evidence that there cannot be any large gaps in the genealogy recorded in this fifth chapter of Genesis. It's impossible to harmonize this clear and precise record with the evolutionary speculations of placing man's origin at several million years ago. In Acts 3:21, Peter speaks of the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. When Peter made this statement, he must have had Lamech in mind, as well as Adam, Abel, and Enoch. The Bible clearly tells us that these men were holy prophets who did prophesy since the world began. Noah, who was the one who would preserve life by the ark he built, while the cursed earth was being cleansed by the waters of the flood, Noah was only a preliminary fulfillment of Lamech's prophecy, of course. The promised seed was still yet in the future. It would be the coming of Christ that would bring true rest and comfort. Yet Noah, who was a type of the Messiah, did also bring rest and comfort just by participating in the prophecies leading to and pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lamech, like all the other patriarchs, begat sons and daughters in addition to Noah. It is very probable that these brothers and sisters of Noah must have perished in the flood. There must have been also many others in the line of Seth who also perished. It could have hardly been only the descendants of Cain who participated in the wickedness of the day. Thus the wickedness and corruption which had become rampant had affected both branches of the human family by this time, except for the godly remnant in the direct line from Enoch to Noah. And the sad truth is that any family in any age of the world can have any or all of its members follow the wicked ways of the day. Rare is the family, even today, that has not or will not experience this heartbreaking event. It may have even affected Noah's family, though we cannot be for sure. We know of only his three sons who survived the flood, but it seems likely that he also, like the others, begat sons and daughters, especially since Noah was 500 years old before Shem, Ham, and Japheth were born. Ordinarily, only Shem would have been mentioned by name since he was the next in the prophetic lineage, but the three sons are mentioned by name because these were the ones in his family who were faithful to the preaching of Noah and elected to go with him into the ark, and who would therefore become the ancestors of all the post-flood nations. Shem, Ham, and Japheth were to eventually repeople the earth, and each would impress their own characteristics on their own descendants. Noah is 500 years old before they were born. Then there was another 100 years from that time until the flood. That 100 years must have been a time of trauma and grief for godly Noah. The world was rapidly becoming unimaginably wicked and violent, and evidently the faithful preaching of Noah seemed to be futile. Whether or not Noah saw some of his own children engulfed in this boggy mass of evil, he no doubt saw it overwhelm his brothers and sisters and other loved ones. As he walked with God, he must have longed and prayed that God would intervene before the entire world knew nothing but evil. And as we think of the days of Noah, we see that the first age of human history reached its highest point and ended during the days of Noah. The sin which entered the world when Eve was tempted to doubt the word of God seemed so harmless at first, then began to show its true ugly character in the life of Cain. But this same sin came to full maturity in the godless civilization formed by Cain's descendants, and eventually degraded humankind into such a terrible cesspool of wickedness and corruption that only a worldwide flood of water from the windows of heaven could purge and cleanse the rotten and corrupted earth. But unfortunately, the way the ungodly people behaved in those awful tragic days is to be repeated in the last days of this present age. It is urgently important, from the standpoint of both understanding past history and seeking guidance for the future, that we understand the events which took place in the days of Noah. 2 days before his crucifixion, the disciples asked Christ, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" Matthew 24:3. Jesus answered them by naming several signs which would occur in the generations which would see the signs. Then Jesus climaxed these signs with a prophetic warning. He says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Matthew 24:37-39. Here Jesus Christ does verify the historical fact of the great flood, and he also encourages us to study closely the actions of the people during the days just before the flood, for the ways of the people in those days will be very similar to the ways of the people just before his return. And now we're ready to move into chapter 6 of Genesis.